Good morning, everyone. What a group we have this morning with seniors. We hope that they will transition well to a young adults class here in a couple of weeks. This morning we'll be studying Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. So flip your Bibles to Psalm chapter 27 for our time this morning. If you're new to Netherland Church, welcome to Netherland Church. We're a community that loves God and we try our best to follow Jesus in ways that we can. We're also honored and humbled that we are partnering some ministries outside of this place. Hope for Tomorrow Ministries in the Philippines, as well as a church in Trinidad and Tobago in Mayaro. Let me read Psalm chapter 27 before we go deeper, and then I'll pray. The Lord is my light and salvation. And whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. There's one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and on my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, our sacrifice, offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me when you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant against you have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God, of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of the adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me and set his breath out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed in you, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be good of courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this time as a community to witness the successes of our students and their dreams in life. We pray that you continue to bless them, their pursuits in life. And especially for this morning, as we study your word, Psalm 27, we pray that your wisdom and your spirit will dwell in our hearts and our heads as well, so that we can not only listen to the words, but put them in practice. We ask that you bless our kids. They're growing in society that's definitely broken. And we ask that you'll help us as parents to help them guide in the right path, and to help us that we can help them to fear you and respect you and study your word. We're grateful for this time, and all praises and glory be given back to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Chasing Dreams is the title of this morning's sermon. There it is, Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. And I had a teammate when I was working in a congregation in Naga, Cebu. His name is Fred. And Fred is a heavier set than me, twice my size, and he loves to invent new food and new delicacies and all other kinds of things, mixed soy sauce and vinegar and other things and sugar. Just he loves to invent cooking. But the town where we were ministering to sits on the water, so there's a very beautiful bay walk. So he and I one morning, or one day, sat down together and said, "Hey, Fred, let's plan about jogging every morning in the Baywalk, because it's a beautiful part of the city. You can you know, experience a beautiful breeze coming from the water, from the ocean, also the sunset and sunrises. But we set out to plan that every morning we would jog. And so on the next day, I knock on his door. Fred, good morning, let's go out and jog. There was silence for a couple of seconds, probably a minute, I don't know how long. And then I knocked again, and he said, you go ahead, I'll be there. So I went and did my thing, a couple of lapses. It was more of a speed walking rather than jogging, because I'm not used to jogging, and I still hate jogging. But I did a couple of rounds and laps, and time went by, and I thought, it's time for me to go back to the building, because he and I live in the same building. This was when I was still single, right? And when I got there, he was already up, fixing this new dish that he had concocted. So I asked him, did you jog this morning? And he said, I did. I was like, really? Did you really jog this morning? And he insists he did. And he said, I did jog in my dreams. What a very smart guy, right? But don't you wish that life is like that? We can dream away our hopes and goals in life. We just put them in our heads, and then the next day they become a reality. We don't put any work, any hard work. We just dream, and then it just happens into real life. But unfortunately, in real life, it's not like that. You have to put in the hard work. You have to put in the time for our dreams. If we want to pursue something, you really have to think about that and invest time and money and energy for our dreams. So this morning, it's about chasing our dreams. What I mean by chasing our dreams or dreams, it's not referring to just some visions in our head. I'm referring to the goals and hopes and aspirations in our lives. So the first questions that we would like to discuss this morning, that I would like for you to reflect, is this. What are your dreams in life? What are your dreams in life? And like what I said, it's not just the visions in your head, but your aspirations, your objective, your goal, your desire. What are those? We know that in life, this dreams like progresses, like kids dream about four things in one cycle. That is to eat, play, sleep, and repeat. That's what kids want. But when they become teenagers, it's more about, like, do I look pretty? Do I look handsome? Am I strong enough? And then once they become young adults, it's more about, like, job, money, salary, and family. And once they're in their 60s, it's like retirement, right? And these are the things that drive us. These dreams are the things that drive us. But this progresses from one end of the spectrum. It's about just self. And then to the other end of the spectrum, it's more about family and kids and grandkids and savings and all those kinds of things. So what are your dreams in life? What do you want to pursue? But it's important that for us as people, as individuals, that we set an objective in our lives. Because if we don't have any objective, then we would be somebody that's just going through the motions without really any sense of purpose in our lives. We have seen like a number of high school students and seniors here, and they know what they want to do. They know what they want to do. They want to work for this company. This is what I want to pursue in the next 4 years. And then after that, I will work in this field or in that field, or I'll be in this city or in the city. Or by age 21, I will have my own family. They have visions in their head, and they know what they want to pursue. And it's important for us to have visions in our head and objectives in our head. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. And this is not just true for organizations, but not just true for them. This is all true for individuals. It's also true for me that if I don't have a vision, then all my energy, all my savings, all my money, all my time will be wasted on nothing. So it's important to have the objective in life. And I would say that if you're a senior, since you have an objective in life, I would say pursue that. You know, if you want to be a carpenter, be the best carpenter. If you want to be a businessman, start your business right away. Don't waste your money on college, right? Start it right away. If you want to be the best garbage collector, that's what your dream, pursue that. If you want to be the best teacher, be the best teacher. Pursue what you have in mind, because our life is created to pursue something. Have you noticed it that when we try to pursue something, it becomes more meaningful? Our time becomes more meaningful. Our passion comes out when we try to pursue something. All our energy is directed single-mindedly into that object. Because that's what we're created for. We're created to pursue something, to pursue a specific task. That's what we're created for. The second question that I would like for us to consider this morning is this. Are you chasing your dreams or just dreaming away like Fred? Are you chasing your dreams or just dreaming away like Fred? Probably you're 60 years old or 70 years old, or I don't know how old you are, but you're probably thinking, well, you know, that ship has sailed already. I'm in my 70s, and it seems like I can no longer dream for a new dream because I'm already past that prime age. But that is not true. C.S. Lewis, a theologian, also a preacher, he said, "You are never too old to start another goal or to dream a new dream." That's what this theologian said. You are never too old to start a new goal or a new dream. Because dreams are just not meant for kids, not just for teenagers, not just for young adults. It's meant for everybody. There's many stories of people that pursued their dreams despite of old age. And one of those that we recognize very well, he was not old when he pursued this. His name is Walter Elias Disney, and he was actually rejected for his work because the publisher thought that his work didn't have enough imagination, and he pursued that for many years, and so now he's like an empire, right? His sons and his grandsons and great grandsons are enjoying the benefit of his dream and his object in life. So are you chasing your dreams or just dreaming away? But I hope that whatever your dreams are, on top of your dreams, you will also pursue this single thing that David talked about in Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. Let me read that again. He said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There's one thing that I want, Lord. There's one thing that I desire. There's one thing that I aspire. There's one thing that I want to chase. And it's this. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So on top of what your dreams are right now, whether that's to become a businessman or pursue a degree in law or a teacher or what have you, on top of that, I hope that this desire that David is trying to communicate this morning is also our dream, our desire. To dwell on the house of the Lord forever. David was dreaming. But he was not dreaming just of the earthly things. It's important to dream of earthly things, of course. We recognize that. But he was also dreaming of the most important thing, and that is to worship God, to be with God. He dreamed to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so his mindset here is not so much on transacting with God, like visiting with God on Sundays or Sunday evening or Wednesdays. His mindset here is dwelling with God daily. Being with God consistently, not just on days when the church door opens, but also when he's out in the field tending to his flock, or when he's out fighting, or when he's a king ruling his people. His imagination is so much more about God being the center of his life. That is what he wanted. That is what he desired. David asked for one thing, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it tells you how much Solomon learned from this, because when Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3 was asked by God what he wanted in his life when he was installed as a king, as a young king, Solomon asked for one thing only. God said, "You can ask me anything, Solomon," but he only asked for one thing. That single-mindedness is in the genes of David's family. He said, "I want wisdom." And God said, "Because you wanted wisdom, I'll give you that wisdom, but also give you these other things." What I want us to consider here this morning in that story of Solomon asking God, or God offering options and him asking only this one thing, this wisdom, is that whenever God gives what we ask, he also it also comes with other things. It also comes with pluses, with surplus. He got wisdom, but he also got strength. He also got money. He also got wealth. When David asked for presence with God, visitation with God on a regular basis, consistently, he also was gifted with ability to fight, ability to rule, ability to be some person that can communicate God's word, not just on the religious scene, but also in his political world. That's what God does. He desired to be wholly devoted to God. He desired to dwell constantly in his father's house. It's almost like a child that he would rather have his father's attention and presence rather than his father's money and toys. It's almost like that. This is what David desired from God. I don't want your toys. I don't want your money. I want you. I want you. And that theology is what we need to think about when we think about God. I don't want these things that comes with you. I want you, yourself. And sometimes we think of heaven in a very opposite way. We think of heaven, I want to go to heaven because there's like streets of gold, there's mansions there. Even if I just live in the restroom, I'll be fine. But as long as I go to heaven. But I think it should be the opposite. It should be like, I want to go to heaven because I want to dwell. I want to be with you, God. I want you. And the other things comes first. I mean, the other things come second. So, David, I want to elaborate here these 3 points. David's desire is single-minded. Desire is to be with God. But it's described in 3 categories. First is to dwell in the house of the Lord. And dwelling means being in the presence of God consistently. The second category of his single-minded desire is to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to behold the grace and the glory of God. Because if you think about God, he's somebody that is beyond our comprehension, beyond our imagination. But there's so much to love about him. There's so much to enjoy about him. Have you seen a beautiful person? Sometimes when you look at the eyes of a beautiful person, it's almost like you're swallowed by their beauty, swallowed by their majesty. And David is like that. He wants to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. He wants to be swallowed by the glory of God. The third category is that he wants to inquire in his temple. Rather than be led, and this was one of the things that I enjoyed or was blessed by Brother Jerry's prayer this morning, that we want to be led by God. This is what David wanted. He wanted to inquire in God's temple and not rely on he's a smart king, but not rely on solely on his wisdom, but also rely on God's leading. And to inquire in God's temple is to say, God, I am smart, I am wise, but I know that myself has limitations. I want to inquire in your temple. I want to be led by you. David wanted that kind of life. I also would like to note that if you really think deeply about David's life, he is a great warrior, a great ruler, can write amazing songs, but at the core of his being, he's more of a worshiper than a warrior or a warrior. That's what separates him from the rest of the kings, even from his wise son Solomon. Because if you think about it, kings don't come from the youngest. Kings come from the oldest. There's 2 princes that we know or accustomed to, Prince William and Prince Harry. It's not going to be Harry that's going to become the king in the future. It's going to be William. Because that's the tradition of kingship. But he, being one of the youngest, became the king. But he was not desiring to be king. He was also, even though he was a great warrior, he was not really desiring to be a warrior. He was a shepherd. He was meant to be a shepherd. But because of his desire, God gave him those things in life. So to desire God and to dream of God is, I want to make a clarity here. That to desire God is not necessarily to abandon other desires. To dream of God is not necessarily to abandon other dreams. That's not how God works. God is not saying you are becoming, you dream about me and then all the rest are aborted. That's not what God is trying to communicate. So to dream God or to desire of God does not mean that we abandon other desires. It's the opposite, actually. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So he's not saying, I'm not going to give you the other things that you desire. He's just saying, seek me first, and then those other things will have their place, their rightful place in your life. It's about prioritizing God, and then everything else will come second. So when God is the first, everything else will become rightly second. But if we put those other things as the major driving force of our life, then Jesus and God becomes almost like at the list at the bottom of our list of priorities, and then there will be no place for God. In the first or the previous verses before 31 of Matthew chapter 6 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth and rust destroy." And so Jesus is trying to align our lives and order in our lives in a way that we can still enjoy the things that we want, the things that we desire. We can still pursue them, but without giving up on God. He said, desire God, and everything else will come second. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's not trying to condone you from enjoying material possessions. Rather, he's trying to correct us from rightly enjoying material possessions. A theologian, Kaufman is his last name, said, "Possessions must be possessed, but they must not possess the owner." So when we put God as the secondary driving force of our factor, that's what will happen. Possessions will possess us. Wealth will become our love, and God will no longer be the first love of our lives. So David is right when he said, "I desire one thing, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but every single day, to dwell on the house of the Lord forever. I would like to point out that our dreams are important for us. That's what makes us human beings. Our lives have become more meaningful when we have dreams, when we have aspirations, when we have goals, when we have vision in our head. They become more meaningful when we want to pursue something. And to our college students and seniors and those that are following their footsteps, please pursue your dreams, whatever those dreams are. But please do not forget that the main thing that we all pursue as the primary subject of our lives should be the first things that we dream of is God. To dream of God first, to desire of God, and everything should become second. I think that's what a Christian life is, being driven by God so that everything is proper, in proper alignment. So Fred, after a couple of years, he became a chef, and he enjoyed cooking new dishes, right? Because of his goal. His goal was never to become thin or slim or fit or athletic. His goal was always to be a chef. And that story comes from his single-minded desire, and that desire is to, I want to be the best chef there is. And he's working towards that. But also in that desire, he knows that God must be in the first spot of that priority list. I hope that when we find our kids, teenagers, or sons and daughters, or myself, or yourself, that we have this new passion, I hope that we pursue that. But as we pursue that, I hope that God is in the mix. God is in the process of thinking for that goal, that objective, that desire. But most importantly, I hope that whatever our passion and desire and objects in life, our goal is, God is the force that drives us, the force that pushes us to achieve those desires. God is not against your dream. Let me clarify that. God is not against your dream. What he is against is when you forget about him. So go pursue your dreams, but also don't forget about God. When Jesus invites his disciples to go and preach the word to other people, his desire was not for building an earthly kingdom. His desire was to build the church. So if you're not yet part of God's church, if you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus to become his disciple, we invite you to come forward. Baptism is the way where we say to our community and to God, by today, I become a follower of Jesus. And Jesus becomes my driving force. Jesus becomes my objective in life. And baptism is where you get this holy blood of Christ that washes away all the guilt, all the sins, all the burdens that you carry. And when you rise up from that water, you are treated as new individual, as a new person. Baptism waits for you. Jesus waits for you. Do not tarry.